This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Philip C. and this is the Breakfast Grill. On the grill today is Ming Luk Tan. She's the country head of OYO for Malaysia and Singapore. OYO, short for On Your Own, is an Indian multinational online travel agent, home and living spaces. The brainchild of Ritesh Agarwal, one of India's youngest billionaires, OYO initially consisted mainly of budget hotels, but this startup has expanded globally with thousands of hotels across 80 nations. So how did OYO navigate the pandemic and how is the recovery shaping it for them to resume their expansion to become the world's largest hotel chain? Welcome to the Grill, Ming Luk. Let's start with the initial question, which is we can't avoid the pandemic. Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb, I think one of also your shareholders, equated the pandemic to a torpedo. And your boss, Ritesh Agarwal, said, similarly, it felt like a cyclone. So in your view, how would you characterize the impact of the pandemic on your business?
It was, I agree with Emily. It was very devastating, right? You know, when it first hit us, during the onset of the first lockdown, you know, our revenues down, right? 90%. You know, especially the first week itself, right? You realize, you know, hotels weren't classified as essential services actually in the first week itself. You know, and then we had to, you know, lie to the government together with the other stakeholders, to inform them that, you know, actually there's still a lot of people staying in hotels, right? And especially the, you know, stranded tourists and also the people working in essential services. You know, that helped, you know, elevate, you know, some of the demand. But obviously, it was still, you know, even with those measures from, you know, dropping 90%, it went up slightly by another 10%, but revenues were still down 88%.
The impact must have been very devastating. I mean, not only to you, but to your hotel partners. Can you give us a sense of how many hotel partners decided to shut down and hibernate?
So pre-pandemic, we had around, you know, 900 over properties with us. I would say around, you know, 20% have actually shut down, right? Permanently or temporarily. Quite substantial. At one point, at a peak was actually around, obviously temporary, actually at a peak was around 60%, temporary or permanently. Right now, it's around, you know, 20% that has actually shut down. We still don't know whether it's going to be permanent, but we feel that some of them will be not returning. Right?
Do you have a sense of which types of hotels that were under the most pressure throughout the pandemic? When you looked at your data, you know, for those 900 properties that sit on your site, which ones actually are the most vulnerable from the pandemic?
Yeah, so we couldn't find a pattern, right? But so the ones that we saw most prominent are actually the ones on lease, right? Because the, you know, leases are high and you can't fulfill those commitments. Typically, the ones that where they own the properties, they tend to, you know, survive. Also, you see one in tier one cities where they rely a lot on, you know, business travel. Those are the ones facing the brunt. Because, you know, when the lockdowns were lifted, we still had a bit of the demand and leisure, right? And right now as well, right? Demand, you know, as you see, it's not very equally distributed. It's mainly predominantly in leisure cities right now, like Penang and Malacca, Langkawi, etc. But I still say, the ones on lease and the ones where we rely heavily on the business travel.
Yeah, so that actually will be secondary cities, right? That will be under quite a lot of pressure, the likes of JB, Kota Bharu and such. Those properties would be under a lot of strain and would struggle to reopen. But, you know, fast forward to now, and if I recall in mid-July, you did say like the industry as a whole was losing an estimated 300 million ringgit from the lockdown every 2 weeks. So give us a sense now, how is it shaping in terms of market recovery and reopening?
So after the lifting of the interstate travel ban, right, actually right now, just for us, you know, OYO, we are about, you know, 70%, 75% of pre-COVID. Right, so demand has actually picked up substantially. But having said that, some of the hotels are still remaining shut, right? Especially the ones in leisure cities. So demand has been improving, you know, for sure, right? But obviously, the ones that remain shut, there's a couple of challenges, right? One is, you know, where they're in cities where there's a lot of business travelers, mm-hmm. right? So the demand has not returned to a meaningful number that will, you know, convince them to reopen, right? Because the revenues does not, you know, able to cover their, you know, costs.
So when you say 75%, you mean that if 75% recovery of pre-COVID levels in terms of number of occupancy and rooms taken?
Correct. Number of occupancy, correct.
Not a percentage.
Yeah, correct. Because number of rooms still not yet, because a lot of hotels are still, like I said, 20% hotels are still closed, right? But in terms of occupancy, yes.
So basically, it's with a smaller supply of rooms available. So you're filling out 75% at pre-COVID level.
Correct.
I see. So so taking the calculation and that you're 20% less than you were in terms of the supply, you're about 50% pre-COVID level then in total number of absolute rooms available. And we talked about the actual rooms and occupancy. Let's just deep dive in RevPAR, which is your revenue per available room. How has that been trending pre-COVID and to today?
Yeah, so RevPARs have been around, it's similar. RevPARs have been around 70-75%.
Okay. Okay. So it's still behind pandemic. And when do you feel occupancy and RevPAR will hit pre-pandemic levels?
We hope sometime in, you know, by next year, right? Probably second quarter, third quarter, but definitely not anytime in the next few months.
Help me draw parallels in Malaysia versus the rest of the region. OYO operates in multiple markets. I mean, you're dominant in India. You have a huge presence in Indonesia and Europe. How is Malaysia's performance stacked up versus a lot of the other markets that OYO operates in?
So India obviously have recovered substantially. I think they're among the countries right now. I think they're one best. I think they're the best performers, right? In terms of occupancies and revenue recovery. So close second, I think, would be, at one point was, you know, the States, because, you know, obviously the vaccination rates were faster and higher. You know, demand went back substantially. You could also see some of our competitors, you know, Airbnb also declaring, you know, record revenues, right? Malaysia, I would say, around the top five countries right now in our portfolio. It's very difficult to compare country to country as well, right? But if you compare... just compared by recovery, right? Pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic. I think we're top three, top four there, right? We're 75%.
And our trend of recovery, because we were a bit behind in terms of our reopening strategy, OYO operates multiple markets that reopened way earlier than us. How was the trend of the reopening in those markets, and how does that contrast with Malaysia's reopening now, since we have been close to 2 months since reopening? Do you see our pace in tandem with them, or slower or faster?
It's kind of similar, right? We saw kind of similar trends, right? And kind of in line with our projections.
And in terms of that segment as well, do you see also the same issue, which is leisure-centric first, business comes in later? Does business actually eventually recover, or is business stagnant and nothing moving there?
No, actually, businesses have recovered, I wouldn't say as fast as leisure. So if you look at all the countries that I just mentioned, right? Leisure definitely recovered first, then followed by, you know, business travelers as well. Definitely business has recovered, but still not as close to pre-pandemic.
Help me understand your business model a bit more. You look at properties, you scout around for properties, you look at them and say, okay, huge amount of potential. You spruce them up, you put standards, you rebrand them, they become a franchisee. Essentially, it's an asset-light model, because you don't own the asset, they still do, and they operate it for you. But you have all the mod cons, and you manage the marketing distribution, and you take a cut of the commission, right? So give us a sense, how do the level of commissions that you offer your partners, how does it compare in Malaysia versus other markets?
It's around the same, right? I would say it's around the same, maybe plus minus, you know, 5-10%, but it's around the same.
And give me a range of what kind of commissions you charge.
Can't really dive down the numbers, but it ranges from, you know, 20% from, you know, 18% to 20%.
How does that compare perhaps with commissions with other online travel agents like Agoda and Booking.com? I presume you would charge a higher commission versus these online travel agents, correct? Because you basically put more skin into the game through the investment and the brand.
Correct. We definitely charge higher than them, for sure. Yeah, because they are just a listing portal, right? But we do more. We invest in, we help with revenue management, pricing, campaign management, customer acquisition, end-to-end.
Yeah. And when you talk to your partners and when you look at your data, and back to the analytics of RevPAR, before and after OYO brand property comes in, how much does the RevPAR improve by, if you were to look at a before and after situation?
Yeah, so on average, it was around, 40 to 50%, right, in Malaysia. That was 40, 50% was an average. But it goes up all the way up to, two times as well, 200%. Yeah, so it depends on the location of the property, but on average, 40, 50%.
And when you think about the pricing point that you place for OYO, how is the pricing point of an OYO property for the same location versus a non-branded OYO property in the same location? How much premium do you charge?
It's actually similar. On average, it's around similar. But sometimes at the start, so we use a differentiated pricing algorithm, right? It's all based on occupancy and competitors. So sometimes when the occupancy is low, it could go very, very low. But obviously, we have a floor price that we discuss with our partners. And then it could go substantially higher than the competition when occupancy goes up as well.
So essentially, your benefit and what value differentiator you offer to your partners is really the technique and analytics behind how you do dynamic pricing. It's also you providing the expertise to brand better and also improve facilities. And that enables them to deliver that close to 40, 50% improvement in RevPAR.
Correct. That's right.
All right. And so then with respect to the target, you said just now 900 hotels, I think close to 25 over 1,000 rooms. What's the target, next year?
Can't name a specific target, next year be driven by, kind of two or three pillars, right? Obviously, we still want to, substantially grow our network of hotels, that's for sure. I can't really share the targets.
Why not?
Yeah, we can't. Not at this moment. Hopefully, the next segment, right? We're still, finalizing what the targets are, but we have some rough estimates. And obviously, with hotels, we also need to, keep continuing growing our customer base, right? Signing up hotels but don't filling up then it will be a challenge for our partners. So we need to continue to drive that value.
On the Breakfast Grill, Ming Luk Tan, country head of OYO for Malaysia and Singapore. Up next, their pathway to profitability.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On the Breakfast Grill, we have with us Ming Luk Tan, country head at OYO for Malaysia and Singapore. Ming Luk, OYO's ambition is to become the world's largest hotel chain. And the goal was to deliver that by 2023. Is that still a realistic goal?
I think it's still possible, right? With the pandemic, I think it's still highly possible.
What is required to be able to achieve that goal? Because that goal was established pre-pandemic, wasn't it?
Correct.
And it would require a significant amount of capital to drive that, which then leads to the question about the potential IPO, because there has been a filing in place for OYO to list. Is that still going ahead as planned?
Yeah, so we started the process. As you probably read, we've actually filed the application to start the listing process. And I think the approvals will come in the next, hopefully the next month or so. And then I think we've been given 6 months from the approval to then, list the company. And I think it all depends on the board and also, how the markets perform, right? Can't really give a specific timeline, but I think it'd be depending on those two factors.
Yeah, a very interesting point. You say two factors, the board and the markets. And I do want to bring up the issue on markets because, and I wonder whether the board will have cold feet in initiating the listing after the relatively disastrous IPO of Paytm, yeah. Right? Where I think the greed got in the way of fear and basically resulted in price really tanking on its first day. Do you think that's going to change your fundraising plans for OYO then?
Can't really comment on that, but I think hopefully this will be a lesson and hopefully they decode what happened with Paytm and learn from it, right, and avoid the same mistakes. And I think that's what the team is doing, right now. Obviously, it was a shock to everyone, right, in the market. People didn't expect Paytm to, say drop substantially on the first day itself.
Yeah. And if you look at your investor pool, really it is like the who's who of investing. You have SoftBank, you have Airbnb, Sequoia, Microsoft. What is their mandate to Ritesh and the management team with respect to moving OYO forward? Are they very keen to cash out now with the likes of SoftBank, or are they here to hold the business for the longer term?
Yeah. So also similarly with, the statement from a company, right? Most of the shareholders are not, you know, cashing out during the IPO, as far as I'm concerned, right? I think they might, I'm not sure, but I think based on that, I think they're not cashing out.
And
they
believe in the long term. Well, I guess the challenge is then, you know, in order to go back to the original intention to become the world's largest chain, the priority is then growth, which then comes back to balancing this whole point about growth versus profitability. You know, if you look at the numbers, we made a loss of about $528 million on a total income of about $600 million. Is that really a pathway to profitability for Oyo?
Yeah, so I don't think we should just look at the current numbers, right? If you look at pre-pandemic and now, I think there was substantial improvement, right? Especially in the operational matrix and the path to profitability, right? And internally, we've taken a substantial, measures, to reduce that, path to profitability, right? I can't say when we're going to get there, but it should be, sooner than later. And some of the markets where we're operating are actually profitable already.
Which markets are profitable?
Can't mention, but a lot of markets, especially, I can just mention one, right? India market was already profitable.
Which is natural, because that's where the home advantage is.
Sure.
But that also, leads to the question of scale. What does it take to hit a certain amount of scale? And for me, that's where it's very interesting, right? And when I breeze through the Oyo app and I actually look at your facilities and your locations, you have the breadth of presence, definitely. You know, you are in all these secondary cities that not many people are. But I'm wondering about the depth. And so just even searching for a place like Langkawi, you have really less than 20 sites on the Oyo app. That doesn't really sound like a lot. That doesn't really build enough scale, isn't it? What is the strategy then to build depth in developed leisure markets, which is where the growth will take place in the immediate future?
Yeah, so we're still doubling down on acquisition right now, right? So Langkawi used to have more hotels, but a lot of them are actually still temporary shut right now. Because in Langkawi, a lot of people are still staying in the 4 or 5 stars, right? But having said that, we're more hotels are reopening up, right, in Langkawi. So we've also doubling down on manpower on the ground to sign up more properties. We also recently invested in our own tax solution to basically allow properties to remotely sign up and onboard their property on the Oyo platform, right, which we recently launched just 2 weeks ago.
So give us a sense, right? I mean, when you say innovation and tech, that is a very central part. In an interview with Ritesh, he did say that there were three key strategies to navigate the pandemic: cash, cost-cutting, and innovation. Just staying on the innovation theme, how is that going to help you build at depth in your hotel base, doing this auto sign up? Give us a sense of how many new hotels have you been able to sign up in the past 1 month or 2 months?
Yeah, so this feature was only launched less than 2 weeks ago, right? And so far we managed to sign up probably less than 10, still above our targets, right? Because we haven't done a lot of marketing on it, right? So right now we've just launched it. We want to test it to make sure it's bug free, and then we're going to invest more in marketing, right? To spread the word on this too. And hopefully we're able to sign up more hotels in a more efficient and scalable manner using this tax solution.
Do you think the strategy going forward is to target homes and to not target properties with multiple sites and rooms, but to target room by room? Is that the strategy going forward in Malaysia?
No. So we're still very focused on... So we don't sign up partial inventory, right? So when we sign up a whole hotel. And we will not go towards that path, right, of just signing up rooms.
Oh, why not? Huh?
It's just against our mission and vision. We tried that last time, right? And when I say last time, it was many years ago, 6, 7 years ago. So imagine if there's a hotel with 20 rooms, right? And we only sign up 5 rooms, right? And that 5 rooms, we change it to transform it to Oyo standards and all, right? Guests may enjoy the room itself. But if, outside of the room itself, if the lobby is not well-maintained, the walkway is not well-maintained, then the guest experience will still not be favorable, right? See, hospitality is an end-to-end customer experience, right? From the booking all the way to checkout. So if we can only control the room, then it still wouldn't leave a favorable experience with the guests. So hence, we decided not to just sign up rooms.
End-to-end experience is a very tantalizing thought for me. And you can define end-to-end very differently. For you, you defined it as the check-in to the check-out. But it could also be extended to the entire trip. So would there be any plans for OYO to expand its offering beyond just the classic stay-in experience, but offer things like experiences, culinary experiences, ground operations and ground trips? Would you bundle and add these kind of additional products to the OYO experience?
I can't say no or yes, but I think there's a possibility that may happen in the future, right? But right now, I think the focus is just focusing on growing the number of...
Do you think it's easier to partner with people rather than develop your own branded end-to-end experiences?
It could be a combination of both.
Okay. And would you then consider acquiring other businesses? Because OYO has been very careful in its M&A activity. It's picked basically horizontal mergers, similar kind of concepts. But would you basically purchase or acquire more companies across the travel industry experience?
I wouldn't know. I think it would be a balance between, speed to market and, scale, right? And also the ROI.
I have to say, you are in a very enviable position that if you build your scale and you add thousands of hotels and, a lot of hotel rooms, you have a lot of data. And the analytics is pretty powerful. Would you use the data and analytics to help monetize the business further? For example, even think of purchasing interesting properties where you know the demand is there. Stray from the current business model of being asset light.
So we're not in the business of purchasing properties, right? Not sure what the future holds, but right now definitely no, definitely not in Malaysia as well. But we do use the data to help us identify which areas to focus on double down, right? But definitely no thoughts of purchasing any properties at this moment.
And can you give me a sense, because this data also changes so much as a result of the pandemic. What are the immediate target strategies where you basically hunt versus farm in Malaysia? What kind of locations are you hunting for now?
It actually varies, right? So we look at properties where, sustainable RevPARs, right? Like you rightfully said, we're also cautious, right? Because historical data trends may not be applicable during the pandemic. So hence, we're trying to triangulate the data that you see now and the data that we see prior to that, right? And also triangulate with, customer surveys as well.
We all know OYO is short for on your own. If you were on your own for your next holiday, which OYO room in the world would you love to stay in?
So when I travel to India, I love to stay in their townhouses, right? It's slightly more premium segment than... stay in a couple. Every city that I go to, I try to stay in one OYO townhouse. And you should try it. Right? And there's also plans to launch a slightly premium segment like this in Malaysia, hopefully next year.
That's all the time we have for today. On The Breakfast Grill is Ming Luk Tan, country head at OYO Malaysia and Singapore. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.